broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
You know, Ted's of Beverly Hills is known for a lot more than just our steak. We have the most delicious sirloin burgers for the kids. And hey, what about our Frankfurters, too? Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
Something for everybody.
We wanna put our meat in
and I had some coffee here, Philly. I was going to say Frankfurters for your grandparents. That didn't make any sense.
And what's that?
I said I had some ad copy that was sent over by Johnny, and it said Frankfurters for Grandma a Frankfurter. That didn't make any sense.
For Grandma a Frankfurter, huh? Maybe, what is that?
I don't know, but I did not use it because I have a concern. You know, there's so much going on these days in terms of ad copy and reliability of sponsorship, and we want the audience, our consumers, I should say, we want them to understand that we endeavor to be honest with them. And I don't like anybody putting ad copy in front of me that I haven't been able to vet. And I got this ad copy that said, we got the ad copy here that says...
You wanted to move off of the steaks?
Yeah, move off the steaks and the sirloin burgers, and then it says Frankfurters for the kids and for your grandmother. And if you know what that means, I don't know.
No, I do not know what that means. And you're right not to read it. If it's ad copy from the ad agency, right?
Yeah.
We'll ask them, you know.
I will. I'll call them tomorrow. But I thought maybe there was something I was missing that you knew about.
No, I don't. I certainly don't. It does. It's a little bizarre. I would certainly call your ad agency tomorrow. But Ted Belf is with us, ladies and gentlemen, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we're grateful to have you tonight, Ted. I know that we're going to talk a little bit about parenting. And you come on the show once a week in your segment and talk about different things that affect us in this world. You've talked about being a restaurateur, but you've never really gotten into being much into being a parent. I know that you're the parent of a young adolescent.
My son, Josh, turned 14, Bill. And he is a freshman in high school. He's going to go to, well, I probably shouldn't say, but he's going to a private school. We're very, very blessed that we can send him to a school that's, I think, is going to be a little bit cut above, I guess, I suppose, some of the schools that one might encounter if you're going to a public school. I have no problem with public schools, and I want people to know that. I have no problem with public schools. I think that public schools are in trouble, and I think that's a bad thing. And I think it will long be one of the darkest commentaries on this generation of Americans, among the very many that I think are going to be said about this generation of Americans. This generation of Americans has not acquitted itself well.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, look at the country. I mean, we've lost our sense of nationhood. We've lost our sense of community. The very best, you've said it, Bill, the very best people that we have are over in Afghanistan and Iraq. Those are the best Americans we have. They're not even here. The ones that are here, we don't support our public education. We don't support our public institutions. We don't respect the office of the president anymore. This Hank Williams Jr., could you believe that?
Well, Hank Williams Jr. said, if people don't know, Hank Williams Jr. said that Boehner and Obama golfing... because Hank Williams Jr. is a conservative and a Boehner fan.
Yeah, but I know he's a conservative, and I know he's a Boehner fan, but for him to say that Boehner golfing with Obama was like golfing with Hitler is beyond stupid. I think Hank Williams Jr. disgraced his own father.
And well,
I think he did. I think he disgraced Hank Williams. When you talk about Hank Williams, that's who you're talking about. You're not talking about Hank Williams Jr. You're not talking about some kid that Hank Williams had. And
Hank Williams Jr. has been a very significant success and significant presence in the country music community himself.
Well, now, Phil, let me tell you something, because I know a little bit about the entertainment business. You're right that Hank Williams Jr. has carved a niche for himself, but he is nowhere near. The giant in the annals of music that his father was. That's number one. Number two, he opened up his mouth and said something as stupid as anything I've ever heard anyone say And then he turns around and he says, I know that I'm dumb, and I know I said something dumb, but here's what I meant, and why didn't you understand it, you know? And I got to laugh when I hear those things.
Well, no, he didn't say that. I mean, what he said...
Well, he just about did say that, you know?
Well, he said, as so often is the case, when people say something that they didn't want to necessarily say the way they said it, let's put it that way, when people have a second thought, as is so often the case, they will say, here's what I meant. Now,
you yourself have said that that's an improper way of going about things.
Well, here's what my thinking is. If you are going to speak publicly and you have a public forum, you're a well-known person like Hank Williams, then you do have to think about what you're going to say because you want it to come out clearly. You want it to be as clear as it possibly can be. You want to make your point the best possible way you can because you can't take it back. You know?
That's my point exactly.
Well, what I'm saying is you can't take it back. It's going to go out there and it will forever be what it is. And all of the explaining afterwards isn't going to make it any better. Now, I'm not saying that that's right. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying anything other than that's the reality. Okay?
Well, and so do you agree that Hank Williams Jr. is an imbecile?
I'm not going to call him an imbecile because I don't think anyone who's come through the things that Hank Williams Jr. has come through and has made the success of himself that he's made. This is a man who suffered some of the most horrible injuries you could possibly imagine, having fallen down the side of a mountain when he was hiking once many years ago.
What did you say? He did what?
I said Hank Williams Jr. was, I believe, hiking, or he was doing some mountain climbing many years ago. I think it was in the 70s, maybe. And fell a significant... I'd have to get the specifics, but he fell a pretty long way, and he hit a lot of rocks on the way down. He was brutally, horribly injured, and it's a miracle the man's still walking around, you know?
Well, then I take your word for that. But if that's the case, don't you think he ought to think before he speaks? Don't you think this is a man who ought to bless every day that the good Lord's given him?
And I'm sure that he does, and I think that... Hank Williams communicates best with his music. He doesn't communicate well speaking. Most musicians don't. And it's one of the unfortunate aspects, I think, of the public arena is that there's so many people that just go ahead and throw their hat in there, having little or no experience in what is going to happen to them when they say the wrong thing, as opposed to singing the wrong thing. Let's say it's happened to that what's her name?
You're talking about
the little lady from Dixie.
Dixie Chicks, Natalie May.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing.
All right, okay, but I mean, what I'm saying is, well, no, it isn't the same thing. It's different.
She came out and said Bush was Hitler or something?
No, she didn't say that. Look, I don't want to spend it. Is this what you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about Call of Duty, but I felt that it was, it was my Call of Duty to make a, what was that? I just heard something.
I hit a button here on my wave card. I'm sorry. It was on a computer. You want to talk about Call of Duty? Why?
Well, I want to talk about Call of Duty, and I'm afraid that I've launched into this whole thing on Hank Williams Jr., and we can do either one. We can talk about Hank Williams Jr., we can talk about Call of Duty. I feel very passionate about both, and I feel that Hank Williams Jr. I really am very strongly inclined to feel that he's disgraced himself and his father with this reference to Hitler. I think that Hank Williams, if he represented anything, is one of the great country artists of all time, and a man that wrote some songs. Hank Williams wrote a song that I think is the most beautiful song I've ever heard and the most poignant song I've ever heard. And when I think of that song, and then I think of his, and excuse me for saying this, Phil, and I think of his dumb kid saying, yeah, Hitler, hey, I want to cry.
And what song are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of that beautiful I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry is the name of the song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
It is. It's a Hank Williams song. And I think of how lovely that song is and what a soulful song that is. And then I think of this dumb kid he had sitting there with that in the lowest. It couldn't have been lower from where Hank Williams was as a man to where his son found himself sitting there with this sitting on this stupid show talking about Hitler.
Well, let's not make it into something that it isn't, man, okay?
I don't know. What do you mean, make it into something that isn't?
Well, let's not make it into the lowest thing that's ever been. He misspoke, as we like to say these days.
No. He didn't misspoke, or he didn't misspeak. He meant what he said.
He meant what he said. He also admitted that it was an inelegant thing to say. He also said that he has respect for the... In other words, like I said, I mean, he reacted the way a lot of these people react. You know, you say something dumb, 24 hours goes by, and you go, uh-oh. You look at the reaction, you realize, oh, man, I, you know... See, controversy here, there's two sides to this thing, and there's a double-edged sword, as they say. Controversy can get your name in the paper, and it can get you a lot of fans. It can also get a whole lot of people hating your guts. So let's get back and talk about this with Ted Bell. All right, Ted?
Well, I want to get in a call. But, yeah, I feel like I need to. I've got to unburden myself with this guy, Hank Williams Jr., and what he's done to ruin at least part of the perception that a lot of us have, that good perception a lot of us have of the country music.
All right. Our number is, I don't think it ruins country music at all. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Ted Bell with us from Ted's in Beverly Hills. And we're talking at first here, anyway, about Hank Williams Jr. and his comment. If you heard the comment, and you'd like to comment, 877-876-PHIL, if you didn't hear it, it was essentially this, that Boehner and Obama were golfing. Apparently they had a golf match together, and he said, well, for Boehner to go golfing with Obama is similar to golfing with Hitler. A really extreme and ridiculous thing to say, and it got him fired, his song taken off of Monday Night Football on ESPN. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And that song was terrible. It was terrible. You there, Phil?
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I just got on the phone, Margaret Gray. She's on her way to, I think, a movie premiere with Frank, but I got her on the phone. She's going to sing that beautiful Hank Williams song for us. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I had to run it.
That's okay. You did good.
That sounded okay?
Yeah.
Because I said, I'm so lonesome I could cry. And I...
You don't have to rush it. We'll pull it down and...
I'm sorry?
We'll pull it down. We'll pull the level down so you don't have to rush it.
Well, I wanted, and I don't know if she's on the line or not...
Margaret, are you there?
Yes, Phil. I'm Frank. We're on. I'm sorry, Phil. We're on our way to a movie premiere. A very dear friend of mine. Her son has made a documentary on life in the Middle East, life for women in the Middle East. It's a treatment on the Palestinian women, and he was. Not in the Middle East. He based this all on films that he has seen. But I think it is going to be a very compelling piece. It's on the life and the oppression of Middle Eastern women. And
he hasn't seen it. I mean, he hasn't been there?
What did you say? He hasn't seen it?
No, he hasn't been there?
No, he's never been to the Middle East. But he's based the film. It's a documentary. He's based it on a number of films from the Middle East, Middle Eastern culture, and so forth.
Such as? What, do you know any?
I don't know, Frank.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves.
Yeah.
So it's a documentary on the life of women in the Middle East.
Based on Lawrence of Arabia and Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves.
I don't know, Phil. I'm here for the movie. A friend of mine invited me.
All right. Ted?
Margaret, hey, Ted Bell.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
I'm good, Margaret. Listen, one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard, and I know that you like the song, and I was wondering if you would sing it, is I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Oh, my God. I love that song. Frank, you know that song?
Black Spot. And she was great. Hank Williams was one of the best that I'd ever seen. She sang so wonderful.
Let me have the phone. Frank has gender confusion, as you know, Phil. And
yeah, I know that.
Let me sing I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Was there a reason you wanted me to sing that?
Well, we're talking about Hank Williams Jr. and what he did. You heard what he did, right?
I did hear. It was very unfortunate. And I said this so many times. I don't know why they let... And I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but I don't know why they let a lot of these hillbillies loose with their opinions and their... I think you really have to keep a tight rein on some of them. And
all right, look, Margaret, instead of getting into a whole situation here, do you want to sing the song?
What do you mean a situation? I was giving an opinion.
Yeah, she was telling me about...
I understand that, but I otherwise we're going to get off point...
Talking about Hank Williams Jr., who I heard what Ted said. I think he's disgraced his father. I think he has disgraced a lot of his fans. I think his statement about Hitler and Obama was so asinine and so beyond the pale of anything that one could consider to be scholarly or thoughtful or even remotely intelligent that I am loath to even continue talking about it. So I guess you're right.
All right, well then why don't you sing the song?
All right. So this is the song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. It's a lovely song, and it goes like this. And I do want to give you the correct reading on this film. I have heard it sung a lot of different ways, and most of the time they're bad. This is really the country feel that you want to give it. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill, the sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could. What did you say?
That God.
Oh, why don't you shut up? Are you there, Phil?
Yes, I am. Ted?
What?
Oh, well, don't give me that. You guys, you don't know a thing about country music.
No, I'm not saying... All I'm saying is you went... What is that?
I didn't go... I didn't sound like a steer being stabbed.
Margaret, I do love your singing, but Phil's right. What was the... What was that?
That is a very, very standard device used in country singing. I am shocked that both of you would use that as an excuse to attack me.
And no, I'm not. I'm just trying to learn a little bit, I guess, about how to sing country songs.
Well, go ahead and say it. It blew steer.
Oh, I bet.
Here's the second verse. I've never seen a night so long when time goes crawling by. The moon just went behind the clouds to hide its face and cry. Do you see how I changed up the melody?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's go.
What happened?
They're both...
Margaret, it was lovely. You know, I...
No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that jazz.
Margaret, this is Ted. I love your singing. You know what?
If you say that one more time and not mean it, I will have Frank turn this car around, drive to your restaurant, and I'll stick a knife in your eye.
Wow. Ted, are you there?
I'm here. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you that what I heard her do was something
it's a country thing when they do that.
Is that yodeling?
Well,
yeah, that's what it is, Mr. Bell. Call a yodel.
It is yodeling. Okay, thank you very much, bud. And
well, it's not exactly yodeling, because yodeling is that whole...
No, I know that, but I think what she was doing is she was giving it a yodel... what do they call it, a yodel?
You're giving it... She was attaching a yodel to it, or a yode.
Yeah.
What do you mean, a yode? You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. What do you mean she was attaching a yodel? And turn that fan off, will you, for God's sake, man. I told you it's noisy in the room when you have that fan on.
Well, Bill, you know.
Yeah?
Well, I hear your music.
Yeah, we got to take a break. Hold on. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think of Hank Williams, Jr.? Do you think he should be run out of the business because he called Obama Hitler? I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We do have Ted Bell on the line from Ted's of Beverly Hills right now. We've got a call back from Margaret Gray, and I do apologize, Margaret. I wasn't trying to offend you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to move it to the other segment because we had something else we were going to talk about, you know.
That, Phil, and the reason why I called back is because I've known you for a long time. I like you. I think you really need to. I think you need to. And I'm saying this with as much kindness as I can. I think your manners need to be worked on. I don't care if Ted Bell is on the other line, Phil. Ted called me and wanted me to sing. I've been a professional singer, and so my time as a singer is valuable. Now, he wanted me to sing the song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. It's a Hank Williams song. It is a loved and well-known country song. It needs a yod. You have to place yods at the third and fourth stanza. And
what, can I interrupt?
What?
What is a yod?
The yodel that you were talking about. Bud was talking about it.
Yeah, the yod's when you go to, like that.
Well, no, it's not. That's an abortion. What he just did is the equivalent of something you'd hand to President Clinton in a McDonald's box. All right? And I think you know where I'm going with that. And
no, you know something? That's grotesque. All right? You can use the word abortion if you want.
Well, I don't want to be talked to that way. Now, I was asked to come on.
I understand that, but I don't like you coming on and saying, you know, the way that he did that, just say it sounded bad, okay?
I'm going to sing this song, and I want people to listen, and then I have to get into this premiere, if you don't mind.
Hurry up, please.
Hold on, Frank, all right? Keep your shirt on, all right?
Well, I've got tickets, and I want to get a drink. I've been looking forward to a drink all day. And I'm waiting here listening to you.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Hey, Frank, you know, you're pushing it. You're really pushing it.
I want a drink.
You'll get your drink. Now stand there and shut up. All right, are we ready to go, Phil?
You know, as I've said to the Dooleys, and I'm saying this to you, you know...
No, don't bring the Dooleys up to me. Don't go there. Don't you dare bring the Dooleys up to me. Don't you bring up that mountain trash to me. Don't bring up that woman with her capris. I'm talking to Frank Gray, not to Steve Dooley. All right, are we ready?
Go ahead.
The song needs a yod, and here is I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. It is Ted Bell's favorite. I don't know if Ted's on the line.
Yeah, right here, Mark.
Okay, very good. Here we go. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is a whining low.
Will you come on, for God's sake?
Hold on for a minute. You dirty old...
Ow, that hurt.
Yeah, that'll hurt all right. You ever interrupt me again?
Margaret, I can't have that on the air.
Well, you know what, Phil? You got it on the air, okay?
All right, that does it.
Oh, no, Frank, not the face. Frank, not the face. Not my face, Frank.
You hit me, huh?
Oh, Frank.
You know something, Margaret? You are all alike. All alike. I talked to Barzini. He said I could make a deal with him and keep the casino. You know who I am? I'm Frank Gray. I made my bones when you were going out with cheerleaders. Oh, Frank. You do that yod one more time. Would you ever do that? Henry, you there?
Yeah, Frank.
Get out of here, you...
Well, what happened to him?
I don't know. I lost Ted Bell, too. Everything's going to hell. I don't want to do anything.
Get a hold of yourself, will you? Get a hold of yourself. Call Ted back. Robert, you have the... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little bit of an issue. Robert, you got the board?
Yeah, I got the board right now. I'm probably going to... Here, I know what to do. I'll put this up.
We'll get Ted back on.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, you're on now.
Come on.
You're
on,
go. What do you mean, go? Ted Bell here. I'm not ready to go. What is he talking about? All I heard was Frank Gray getting beat up.
No, it's...
Here at Ted's, we want to...
What do you got there?
Frank.
Turn that off, will you?
I got that open line to the Grays.
Hold on, I want to hear that. Is that Margaret? Margaret, are you there? Oh, Frank. Is that Margaret Gray?
Yeah, Margaret.
Hang the phone up.
Okay, that's... I don't know what happened. She said Frank, not the face, and...
Oh, they're fighting again. I knew that. You know, let me... Every time she says that for pity, I don't think that... I don't think he'd lay a hand on her, but I think she says that for effect. I gotta tell you, though, I don't blame Frank for being upset with her because that song was atrocious. I don't know what she's trying to do, what she's trying to prove, what she's trying to do to me, but that is not the song that I remember.
Margaret has a way of singing things.
You better believe she's got a way of singing things. She's got a way of carving things anew. You know what? She's got a way of destroying things. If you look at that song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Can we get off that song now, all right? Are we going to make the whole hour about a Hank Williams song?
Well, you were talking to me about the guy saying things about Hitler.
He said he made the comment. First of all, it ain't him. That's his father's song.
I know that.
Okay, then what are we butchering a Hank Williams song for when we're talking about Hank Williams Jr.? That's number one. Number two, Hank Williams Jr. said a dumb thing. And that's where that's at. Now, whether or not it's going to... I don't think it's going to hurt his career, but obviously he's not on Monday Night Football any longer. You know, and I think that the controversy or the commentary or the discussion or whatever you want to call it has to do with, you know, shouldn't people be clear?
I think they should, and that's my point. I think that if you're going to say something, then be clear and know, you know, you don't get a pass, and no, you don't get to say, well, you know what I mean, and people misunderstood me on purpose, and people are making a big... No. When he said what he said, the first thing I thought of was, if you ever hear the whippoorwill, the dee-dee-dee-dee, the song that Margaret was, you know, trying to sing with that yod, I don't think you're supposed to yodel.
Yeah, you're probably not supposed to yodel on it.
Yeah. Check and see if...
Will you get off the yodel, okay? Never mind the yodel.
Didn't say yodel. It's a yod effect. You go, that's called a yod.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There was one other thing you wanted to talk about, and we haven't even gotten into it, and that is the new Call of Duty game.
Yeah, the new Call of Duty game, Phil, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about. The new Call of Duty game is a game that is going to be played by adolescents all over this country and young adult men and probably fully grown men. One of the great tragedies of the American cultural life these days is that we've got grown men playing these video games. I understand kids playing them, and I understand, I guess, young men. But when you have 30- and 40-year-old men sitting there and playing Call of Duty and fantasizing that they're in a war, there's something basically wrong with that.
And well, it's a game.
What do you mean it's a game? It's a war. It's war.
Well, it's not really war. It's a game.
No, I know that, but they're fantasizing that they're all of a sudden some badass. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that's not the problem I've got with the game. The new Call of Duty that's coming out has a gay soldier, and I am concerned as to how to deal with that with my son.
And the new Call of Duty has a gay soldier.
Yeah, one of the principal characters is gay. Now, I know that that this is now the law. I know that now we have gays in the military. I didn't know they'd start putting them into Call of Duty games, but I guess they have. What do I say to my son? How do I deal with that?
Well, I don't know. It depends. I don't think there's anything you do say. How do you know that the character is gay?
Well, at some point in the game, you find out that he's gay. And I don't know what that is, and I suppose there are jokes that we could make, but I think this is a serious issue that when your kid is playing this game, this Call of Duty game, and suddenly it is made known to the kid that one of these characters is gay, which in essence breaks that fourth wall, because now the character stares back through the screen at your own kid, and the character's looking at him like, how you doing? Not only could we be friends, but you and I could be married. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And no, I don't understand. First of all, your kid, you're talking about your kid as an underage child.
Right.
Well, that's got nothing to do with being gay. That's someone who's a child molester.
All right, well, then let's talk about an adult. If I was playing that game, if I relax, sometimes I do. I don't do it that much. But if I'm sitting there and I'm relaxing and I'm playing my son's Call of Duty game, and what's that? No, get him out of here. I got two customers giving me a hard time with a kick. Was it? Yeah. And if it's the Gray, if Margaret or Frank Gray, I want them thrown out. I want them thrown out, and I want them thrown out very visibly. All right, Philip.
Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that?
I've had it with them.
Well, are they at your restaurant?
No, I'm just saying, if it is. Yeah, there wouldn't be, but... knowing that they're not here, I can say that. All right, so here, the point is, if I was playing that game...
Knowing that they're not there, you can say that. All right.
Yeah. So the point is, if I was playing that game, I'm Ted Bell, and I'm playing this Call of Duty game, and I look, and I see the gay character looking back at me, he's not just seeing me as one of his comrades in this battle. The gay character in Call of Duty is seeing me now as some sex opportunity. And that is an invasion of me. That's an invasion of me psychologically, but it is a invasion of me physically, even though it's not going to happen, because I'm reduced to that. I'm reduced to a sex opportunity for this character.
Well, I mean, Ted, you're taking, first of all, you're taking this game Call of Duty and this gay character, you're taking it to a real extreme, aren't you?
Well, I think we have to. If you're looking at a game and you know that your kids are playing this game, and you know that there's a gay character in it, I think you got to take it to the extreme. I'm not saying that my kids are going to be molested or anything. I'm not talking about that.
Well, let's keep it on the adult level, because I'm really very, very uncomfortable, and I think it's extremely unfair. Every time we talk about gay characters doing anything, people always boil it down to child molestation, and that's a slanderous thing. Most child molestation is done by heterosexuals. Let's talk about...
All right, fine. You know.
Let's talk about adults that are playing a game.
All right. If it's me.
If it's you. You're playing the game, and there's a gay character.
Yeah, there's a gay character. And as the gay characters will do, or as any character will do, they'll look back at you because you're part of their little team. Only this one's staring at me, you know, it's gay. Do you understand what I'm saying?
What's staring at you? I don't understand.
The makers of the game have got to make it gay, don't they? If the character's gay, don't they have to make it gay?
Yes.
All right, he's going to check me out. Isn't he going to look me up and down?
How does the gay character on the screen know he's looking at a man?
Well, it stands to reason, because most of the people that play Call of Duty are male. Get a grip. Who's going to play it that's a woman? All right.
Well, maybe there is a woman.
Well, I guess it's her lucky day. There's a gay guy looking at her. But you know as well as I do, most of the people that play Call of Duty are men. And if they have a gay character, the gay character turns and says, "Hey, look at the." I don't know if it, you know, but it's looking at you like, "Hey, look at the new me," you know. And I don't want to be in the position of being looked at by something on the TV set like that. I understand it sounds a little silly.
Silly? It sounds almost as if you're fantasizing.
Wait a second.
What I'm saying is, you're having to concoct a whole situation here. You haven't even seen the game, have you?
I don't know I don't know what Call of Duty, what exactly is in the game, but I will tell you this. I think it should be a concern to any parent. All right, not parent, if you don't. I think it's a concern. There's a gay character.
It's a concern to who?
I think we should know that it's gay.
You're taking this to the child molestation level.
Well, I'm just telling you, I think that it's a gay character, and any guy playing the game, any adult guy playing the game, ought to know that that character on that screen is going to be looking at you like you're just some, you're not his comrade so much as you're another possibility that he's got to kind of file away for the day. I don't know.
Okay, we'll take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. Call of Duty has a gay character, according to Ted. And does that mean that it is some kind of a sexual harassment if this gay character is somehow staring back at you through the screen? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Take any phone calls on this show?
What?
You take any phone calls on this show? Have you got anybody out there that's listening?
Yeah, we take phone calls, man, when they want to call in about something.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here waiting for somebody. Let me ask you something. Is your audience... You know what your problem is, Phil? You're on a lot of radio stations where there's a lot of old people, and I think they pass out about an hour into your show.
Okay, Ted, you know what? I don't need your commentary, all right? We're doing the best that we can here. We're appreciating...
No, I'm not trying to say anything. I think you've got a lot of... I think you're on a lot of stations where it's like the demographic is death plus 100. And
okay, man. All right, I heard you.
And I think a lot of these old people can't get to the phone.
All right, I heard you. Do you want to keep on talking about the functionality and the operation of my radio show, or can we keep talking about what you know something about, which apparently is Call of Duty and gay characters?
Wow, boy, that's a...
Oh, come on, you brought it up.
Well, that doesn't mean that that's my thing.
You brought it up. I didn't say it was your thing. It's the reason why you came on the program. All right.
I came on the program, Phil, because I wanted to talk to you, number one, about what not Ted Williams. What's the guy's name?
Hank Williams Jr.
Not Hank Williams Jr. Who's the the big singer, Hank Williams?
What's he got to do with it?
He's the guy that sang "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry." Isn't that the guy?
Yeah, but the news story was
no. You're right. It was about the son, but I wanted to talk about the Hank Williams. Singing that song, "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry," because I love that song, and his son has destroyed it for me. And I asked Margaret Gray to call in and sing it, and she destroyed it further.
Well, that's your problem for calling up and asking her to sing it.
Well, the point being that it was a song that I always liked. I think that when Hank Williams started talking about Adolf Hitler, that was the end of that, you know. So are you going to get any phone calls, or what happens in your show?
We don't have any phone calls from people who want to talk to you.
So that's it, huh?
No, I mean, they don't want to talk to you. Maybe the stuff you're talking about's not interesting enough.
I know. I'll tell you what it is. I think you're on radio stations where only 900-year-old people listen, and they can't get to the phone. I don't think you're on any really, you know...
That's it, Ted. Come on my show and trash me while I'm having an entire hour I'm devoting to your lousy restaurant.
My lousy restaurant?
Yeah, well, if you want to come on here and start ripping into my show...
My lousy restaurant. I'm paying money for this.
Hey, man, I'm sitting here working my ass off trying to do this show. Don't talk to me about my radio stations and the listeners or anything else.
I came on your program because I wanted to... The song goes, "You hear that lonesome whippoorwill." You know the song, okay?
Yes, I've heard it about 9 million times this hour.
Okay. And that woman called up and she ruined it.
Well, you wanted her to sing it.
Yeah, but when she was singing like and all that stuff, you're supposed to sing like this. "Hear the lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry." That's what they call a yode.
That's exactly right. Thank you. He got that exactly right.
Well, you can't sing, bud.
I thought he did it better than her.
No, that...
What are you trying to say?
He didn't sing it better than her.
Well, like, damn, what I'm saying, that's a yod.
Don't give me this yod stuff. There's no such thing as a yod.
Yes, there is. When you go like that, that's a yod. It's part of the yodel. Go ahead, bud, do it.
I've never seen a night so long when the time goes crawling by. Like that. And then you're supposed to go, I'm so lonesome I could cry. Like that.
Uh-huh, like that.
Well, he's got the essence. Okay? So that's what I was saying. Now, Hank Williams Jr. is going to do what Hank Williams Jr. is going to do. But that guy lost his job on Monday Night Football, or whatever the hell it's called. Nobody watches it anymore anyway, because he made that Hitler comment. And I think it disgraced his father. That's all I'm saying. And it was a song that I liked.
Well, do you want him to be back on Monday Night Football?
I don't care. I don't think anybody cares. I think Hank Williams Jr. has worn out his welcome. I think he wore his welcome out about 5 years ago. I think the best thing that ever happened to Monday Night Football was that Yahoo opening his mouth.
All right. Ted, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Phil. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. That's it, right there. I just did it. That sounds too blue to fly.
Phil Henry.